بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم ومن يطع الله ورسوله ويخشى الله ويتقي فأولئك هم الفائزون صدق الله العظيم. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الناس معادن كمعادن الذهب والفضة أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. There's an old saying in English that the idle mind is the devil's workshop. When a person got nothing to do and is free, then the mind runs wild, runs loose, it goes in different directions, it wants to keep itself occupied for the simple reason that it's not in its routine. We may have rest periods where a person will come out of his routine, and by way of the calendar, generally society is running with the school and madrasa calendar. So you ask a person, when will you be traveling? You say, when the children get off from the institution. So we have these periods of holiday, which in reality, in a Muslim's life, holiday is going to come in the qabr and holiday is going to come in the akhirat. But for rest purposes, we can't take this concept and say that a person should not have no rest at all. So, in the time of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, obviously Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam would not take vacations and take holidays and go to exotic resorts. But for rest purposes, you would find in the books of history, in the hadith, that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam would take some rest in a garden, drink some cool water, sweet water. It happened many times in the life of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So from a concept of taking rest in Shariat, by all means we can have rest with the niyat of performing better as the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now that we have cleared up a few questions that have been lurking in our mind, nonetheless, how society is running, in according to that, I'm going to give some directives. Because I made myself clear, the ideal holiday would be in the akhirat. But now that our society is running in this direction, and to tell everybody to remain busy, just take short rest, very few people are going to listen to us. We'll continue to give them targhib. But whilst people are taking off, what is very important is to emphasize on how to spend this time correctly. The mashayikh and ulama, when people come to them and they come with certain complaints of spiritual dilemmas or incidents that took them down on a spiritual level, and you go through the history of that person's dilemma or problem, he'll tell you everything was running smooth until I took a trip to Mauritius. Everything was going smooth until the December holidays. So most of the time when a person is spiritually bashed, or a good portion of the time where the spiritual self undergoes pressure, is in these holiday periods. We, in a short while, end of this month, it is one portion of the year where all religions, people are off, you know. Different religions have their different festivities. So the entire country goes into a silly season similar to that of December. Our Muslims alike, many will be booked to go in certain direction, many will be traveling in certain direction, but bottom line, children will be out of madrasa, out of school. What do we do with this time so that we remain protected? It sounds like a very, very basic subject, How many a break has passed in our life? Nobody told us anything. So what's different about this one? If we have to only go and look at the amount of time that is available in the 10-day holiday, and you times it by hours, it is 240 hours. In 240 hours, such valuable amount of time, what a person can achieve is unbelievable. In the light of hadith of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I'm not going through the entire hadith because I've got other things to say, but one portion of the hadith, اِغْتَنِمْ خَمْسًا قَبْلَ خَمْسٍ, value five things before five. And when you go through, one is وَفَرَاغَكَ قَبْلَ شُغْلِكَ, that value your free time before you become busy. So now that a person has free time, school is closed, he's not going to work, in the South African terms it's called the Easter weekend, what do I do with that? Each person's profile that is seated here, or those listening over the receivers, will be different. Different strokes for different folks. How many a person with the approach of Ramadan, approximately 60 days away, by tomorrow we're already looking for the moon, Rajab and then Shaban and then Ramadan. How many of us, our Quran Sharif is in order? We're not going to take any test. But when we pick up the Quran Sharif, is that a book that is foreign to me? Am I grappling to read the Quran? Have I made any attempt? If you ask a person, how come you didn't make the attempt? You know, I've got this business meeting, that business meeting, 8 to 5. I'm going from here today, there's no time. Alhamdulillah, end of this month, the time is coming. If we use this particular vacation period to attach ourselves to somebody who knows the Quran Sharif, doesn't have to be a greatest Qari like Qari Abdul Basit or something like that. Somebody that's a general reader of the Quran, and you approach him or you approach an alim and make an appointment that, look, I just want to get my last 10 surahs right so that I can recite in the salah. I want to get my reading right so that this month of Ramadan, when people are talking about how many khatams they have completed, and I'm in my second khatam, third khatam, I don't shy away from that conversation like I haven't heard what they're talking about because I'm not even reading one page. So one aspect that we can concentrate on is the Quran Sharif. Then, in our religion of Islam, brotherhood and family ties is very, very important. Due to how society is set up, our brother might be qualified, he settled down in Cape Town. Our sister may be married in Johannesburg. We haven't seen these people for so long. We are speaking to them occasionally. A time has come in Durban where it is sad to say a father has to introduce his son that this is my brother. So he's even asking his father, what is your brother's name? Oh, this is my auntie. You mean both of you lived in one house? Yes. How far have we drifted due to whatever measure and cause? In this particular holiday period, if we can have that heart, if we can have that heart to invite these family members, participate with them on a shari level, share our food, share some memories with them, and bridge the gap if there is some problems, you will find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us so much barakat. If a person wants barakah in his risk, today many people are talking about it, hey, what investment can I make? What investment can I make to strike it big, man? I want that thing to happen. We hear from our mashayikh that when we will take care of family ties, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us barakat in our risk. Then we have more closer than our siblings are our parents. One person was asked, by where are you staying now? He said, I'm living with my parents. Married man with children, but the answer he gave was an answer to give azmat and respect to his parents. Obviously, he's the earning power in the house, He's bringing in the bread. He's paying the lights and water. But the parent status. Now, not everybody has the opportunity to make khidmat of their parents. Some of our parents are far away from us. Yet they are hale and hearty. They're not in the Qabristan. They're still alive. But when you ask their parents, when last did your son come and visit you? When last did your daughter come and visit you? Oh, as men, we have taken in marriage our wives. And they have got parents. Very often, a woman does not express her feelings as to what she really wants to do. She keeps it in, she bottles it in. Well, that maybe was the norm, I don't know now. Nowadays the ladies just say it. But in that heart, that pain that is there, that you know what, I'm a girl from so far, you brought me to Durban. In 2 years you haven't asked me whether I need to go see my mother and father also. You're making me phone them. You're telling them to come here. But I want to go out of my house to visit my parents. Where is the chance for that wife also to be with her family? We are sitting at the ulama desk, and the amount of complaints that are coming, of the unfair relationships that are taking place. And this is not only one side. If you flip the other side of the coin, you get women also who pickle their husbands. They don't even look in the direction of your mother's home. Don't even look in the direction of your parents' home. So in this period that we have, let's see how we can bridge that gap with our parents. If you look at the Quran Kareem, Surah Bani Israel, this is only one ayat or a portion of an ayat that I'm extracting that is relevant to this particular point that I'm making. وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. Ulama kiram explain that here the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is being expressed. And the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala next to it, supposed to have in the general norm of the Quran Kareem, something about a command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or following Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or it would be about salah. But the importance and to show the importance of obedience to parents, وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا, follows the command of the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if there is anybody that has got shortcoming in this line, then let us make amends and work hard in this direction that we go and we serve our parents. What is another angle to use in this free time? In this free time, there are so many of our Muslim brethren that are in the hospitals. And we know the benefit of visiting a sick person. 70,000 angels make dua maghfirat for that person. Man aada maridan uzara akhun lahu lillah nadau munadin bi antibata wa taaba man shaq wa tabawwa'ta min aljannati manzila. For visiting a Muslim brother, for visiting a sick person, what's the end result? Glad tidings for the person. Blessed are your footsteps. And for you we have built a palace in Jannat. Do we know how many of our Muslim brethren are in the hospital? They are depressed. And our visiting them during the visiting hours can have such an impact on that person that the encouragement we give him can be a means of his boost of that person. You know, his morals are picked up and he can heal on the fact that you gave him some encouraging words. See, how do we know what we're supposed to be doing? Respected brothers, how do I want to be treated? That's how I should treat other people. If I am not well, would I not appreciate if people come and visit me and give me a few encouraging words? So this type of spoon-fed type of information and knowledge we have to share all the time, how much are we going to give from the minbar? At times, if a person can just reflect and think, what do I want in my life? How do I want to be treated? It's called ghar ki akal, the basic knowledge of the home that each and every person as the ummati of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam supposed to have, that what I should be doing, how I should be doing it. Then we have our children and their education. We are in the maktab education line. Now, I'm not going to give a bayan about the importance of maktab education, but the amount of time that is being given to secular education is in its own right, whatever is the time that is going. But more than the time, the freshness of the mind of the child is gone into school education. By the time that child comes to us, I don't know what example to give. My dear friends, you know, my mind is just running wild. Can you imagine a beautiful bunch of roses and somebody left it in the back seat of the car and people sat on that thing and it fell on the floor and they trampled it, and now that bunch of roses come in front of you, it lost its fragrance. It lost its vibrance. It lost its appearance and is coming like a dead bunch of flowers. These beautiful flowers of the ummah, when they come to us in the afternoon, 3 o'clock, you know, if you can just be at the door of the maktab, they are coming finished. And now we got to revive the dead. So many of them are grappling with their madrasa work. Ask a child, what is doing in the weekend? I'm going for maths tuition. I'm going for what you call life orientation tuition. The amount of tuition is getting. Did your father and mother ever talk to you about madrasa tuition? Is there anything that you know how weak your hadiths are? Your du'as, you don't even know the kalima properly. What are we going to do about that? Our children are out of school and madrasa for that 1 week, that 240 hours. Can we as parents not coach them? Can we as parents not pick up their education? Or sometime a child is grappling with the schoolwork also, because they're not coping anywhere. So put things right in our home so that the child can perform better. The other aspect that I can spend my time correctly in this holiday is that with our families now, I'm talking about the immediate family, we're staying at home with them, wife and children. We are drifting away from our children because of our busy lives. It's a flight on Monday, it's a meeting on Tuesday, it's a bridge game on Wednesday, it's something else on Thursday. By Friday, where is the time for the children? When we sit with the children who have got problems, why are you behaving like this? Don't you have time with your father and mother? Say, my mother is the CEO of this company and my father is the manager of that place. Nobody got time for me. I'm living with my grandmother who I can't gel with because she's talking things from yesteryear. I'm in the current year and my parents are already thinking of the future years. Take these children. Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our icon, our murshid, our muhsin, our guide, our Nabi, our prophet. Look at the amount of time that he had for children. His grandchildren, Hasanain radiallahu ta'ala anhuma. At one stage, they were sitting on the back of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So somebody remarked, Ni'ma rikab, you two boys, young sahaba, how beautiful they must have been. Allah will unite us with them, inshallah, and the sahaba. Say ameen, my brothers. Say, Ni'ma rikab, what a fine conveyance you got. The answer of my Nabi, really, when you look at that answer, it can it can open up oceans of knowledge, oceans of connection with him. That what a man he was. You know, the more we'll hear about Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the way he reacted and the way he answered and the way he thought, only brings a person to one conclusion. The love for Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam will accelerate and it will increase leaps and bounds. You say, Ni'ma raqib. Don't look at the conveyance. Look at the riders, how fine they are. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a man that had time for children. Wallahi lazim. One sahabi asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, do you kiss the children? Says, yeah, kiss them. Say, I got 10 children. I haven't even kissed one of them. What must I do if your heart is so hard? When last did we sit down with our children? Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. Interacting with each other. We see each other all the time. Each and every one of you brothers, young and old, bright and bold, have got good qualities. Allah has given you good qualities. That iman and the fact that you sauteed in this iman for so long,
every one of you, each and every person, I'm not saying this to thrill and grill and add a few frills, you know. What I'm telling you is a genuine fact. Every one of you that is seated here has got some good qualities in yourself, which are the tools of life. Now that we have reached age, we are 28, 29, 30, 35, 40, what should we be doing? But in Durban, when I meet the people, they say, Molana, I just hit 60. Life begins at 60. I'm feeling young again, man. I'm operating now. Yesterday he was a haji, now he's moving like a baji. My dear brothers, Allah Ta'ala has made us fathers of daughters and sons. Allah Ta'ala has made us uncles of our, what you call, wards. We are guardians unto them. We are dadas and nanas. We have got influence over these children. And like I said, I will emphasize it and categorically mention it. Every one of you, you don't have to be a Maulana to have good qualities. You don't have to be a Mufti. You have got good qualities. If you sit down and you will be able to download to these children unbelievable amount of things. What are you going to download? See, one thing is to open up the subject of shukar with them. Take them down memory lane. Some of you lived in Mayville, some lived in Katemana, some are coming from Joburg, wherever now. You know, in our days, we ate meat once a week. You know how your grandfather, how your dada or my father started off his business? He used to have a bicycle and he used to go out in the rain. And let me tell you, when it used to rain, the roof used to leak. We used to put buckets. Today, my child, you are living in Musgrave. You are living in Morningside. You are in Overport. All these ni'mats are here. Allah Ta'ala gave us this ni'mat, but to protect it, my young one, you got to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't make nashukri. Now who doesn't know that? But when last did we have a heart-to-heart talk with our children? These children, when they will grow up, they will remember this legacy. My papa in the Easter holidays sat me down and he used to tell me stories. My brothers, at one stage, knowledge was preserved in Arabic. Then it expounded in Persian. Then it was a great amount of it in Urdu. But now, alhamdulillah, I take my hat out by way of expression for the ulama kiram that have translated fine works into the common South African English. And we can take stories from there. Alhamdulillah, we've got the Fazail-e Amal. We've got so many good kitabs that if we sit down with the children and read for them, and when we open up to the children, they're going to ask questions. And that time you'll come to know what the child is thinking. So this is what we can do far as our household goes. Then we've got this holiday in front of us. When last did we visit some alim? Some ulama kiram, some senior ulama who are dedicated to their work day in, day out. They're not moving from their place. We moved, my brothers. If we can use this holiday, keeping this ayat of in mind, kunu ma'as sadiqeen, that I've got to go in the company of the truthful, in company of the pious, for my islah, for my reformation, or I'm running a business, I don't know the masail of this business. What does the Quran teach us? Fas'alu ahla dhikri in kuntum la ta'lamun. Ask those that know if we don't know. So in this holiday period, we can even go to the ulama kiram, and we can make some islah of our life. And what is the result of islah? Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran Kareem, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَى. Alhamdulillah, we've got jamaat work carrying on, where the jamaats go for long periods, like 4 months pedal. They go for 4 months overseas, 4 months to the different marakis. And then we've got short-term jamaats for 10 days, for 5 days, for 3 days. How nice it would be if we can see once again people come with their sons and say, we have made a fathers and sons jamaat and we're going in the path of Allah. The Quran Kareem speaks about few pairs of fathers and sons. Look what they achieved. The pair of Ismail alayhi salam and Ibrahim ala Nabina alayhi salam. What did they not achieve? They brought the Kaaba about. The pair of Yaqub alayhi salam and Yusuf alayhi salam. Look at that entire incident, this father and son. What lessons are learned from their life? Look at walaqad atina Dawud alayhi salam, Sulaiman alayhi salam, father and son. Oh my brothers, my friends, if you've got this youth, when I talk to them, they say, you know, I went off because nobody shows me love. Our last topic 1 month ago to date was also on love. I didn't speak about the love that we need to have for our children as such. That love that we'll give them, it won't be superficial. A child can read the love from his parents. It can read the love that the father has in the heart. So let us spend time with our children as well. Let us go out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then, what else can I do? After we have achieved all of this, during this holiday period, if somebody is traveling for some reason, let us make sure that at the end of this holiday, either we are on the same spiritual tier or we have gone up, we are not coming down. Either we remain where we are or we go up but don't come down. In order for this, there are a few pointers. Number one, structure our vacation period around salah. Structure our vacation period around salah, not that salah must fit into the vacation. If I get a chance, I'll make it. In order for salah to be made, that means I must be dressed up properly also. One is the Shesha lane that we have at Marion in Tol. One is the auto card lane that you have at Marion in Tol. There's a new lane that is out. It is called the metamorphosis lane. Man leaves Overport, leaves Westville, leaves this whole Durban area, Morningside, and his wing. The moment he hits the toll road, his topi is gone. His kurta is packed. And you meet him somewhere by Shell Ultra. You say, no, I'm on a cool breeze now. When I'm back at Hilal, I'll be all right again. Come my brothers, when we're going for this vacation, we have to make our salah. When we are going, we have to know where we are going. What is the condition of the halal food? Am I eating? If I'm just going to move like that, when hunger strikes, then the mind doesn't work. The moment I see the sign halal, I'm going to go for it. Plan my meals that I do not consume haram in my vacations. Most of the time people have a doubtful food, not when they're in our Durban area. When they're out of here and they can't find something, so they have to, take the meal on. Thereafter, our akhlaq wherever we go. Islam, alhamdulillah, was spread actively. But a good portion of Islam was spread passively. We are traveling by train, we are traveling by plane, we are moving on the road. If we show the akhlaq wherever we go, Islam is so appetizing. It is so scrumptious. I'm giving these examples, you know. Islam is so scrumptious, so delicious, so appetizing. Like how a person sees a delicious meal in front of himself. It is irresistible. Islam and the akhlaq of Islam that a Muslim will portray is irresistible. If we are portraying it, the person that is witnessing this, definitely, if he doesn't convert into deen, but his mind about Muslims and Islam will definitely take a change. To end my talk this afternoon, so that we finish on time, if this particular vacation and Easter weekend can be used as a catalyst to the month of Ramadan, as I started in the beginning with the regards to the Quran Kareem, but the month of Ramadan is not only abstention from food, drink and pleasure, but it is abstention from all type of sins. If I pre-plan myself for this month of Ramadan, then at the end of that month of Ramadan, when Eid will come about, it would not be a month of regret, but rather a month of alhamdulillah, it went right. When we would land, I can remember this clearly. It was one mashura that I had to attend in Cape Town. As I'm coming out from the airport, I saw 100 days left. So I asked the person who came to fetch us, what is this? Say, no, 100 days mean to that World Cup. People are looking forward to it, so they're putting 100 days left. Have I got a counter how many days left for the month of Ramadan? What is my wish for the month of Ramadan? What is my welcoming gesture to the month of Ramadan? Our akabirin, our seniors, how would they spend their time? 6 months after Ramadan, if Ramadan finished in January, right up till July, they would make a dua, "Oh Allah, accept the Ramadan that went past." And from the next 6 months, they would make a dua, "Oh Allah, let me spend this Ramadan correctly. And myself, Allah make me maaf, I'm just waiting for the moon to be sighted, and I'm just going to be geared up like that." These people who are geared up, when they look at the month of Ramadan, they feel so ill-equipped. What will be my condition who hasn't made any preparation? So I'm going to leave you with 7 P's, the letter P, and then we'll terminate the talk. If we can practice on this, then Allah Ta'ala will make it easy for us. Remember, proper prior planning prevents poor, pathetic performance. Don't try and repeat that now. Remember it. Proper prior planning will prevent poor, pathetic performance. Our planning for the month of Ramadan should start now. So inshallah, like Hazratji Rahmatullah Alayhi, Mawlana Inamul Hasan Sahab, Rahmatan Wasiya, Nubbarallahu Markadahu, Allah Ta'ala give us the ability to follow in their footsteps. He would say, make your life like Ramadan. Make your life like Ramadan so that your mouth can be like Eid. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.